You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
Saying goodbyes?
Saying hello.
You think your wife can hear you?
No.
Then why bother?
Maybe I'm wrong.
You're going to die.
Maybe not.
Goodbye to you, my trusted friend.
A new day is dawning. New ideas, new rules, new management.
We've known each other since we were 9 or 10.
Who is this?
The Marquis de Grammont.
Challenge him to single combat. Win or lose, it's a way out. I don't sit at the table.
Your family does.
Please pray for me. I was the black sheep of the family.
Man has to look his best when it's time to get married. Or buried.
I'm going to need a gun.
Goodbye, my friend. It's hard to die.
Periodic table of awesome.
Yeah.
Are we doing a review of this movie? Whoa. Yeah, I'm thinking I am. Actually, sorry. Yeah, I'm thinking I am. Yeah. You're going to get a little bit angrier.
That's
about
better.
That.
Yeah.
Sorry. It was one of the few times in this quadrilogy of films that we've seen actual emotion.
Oh, Predicate is back on the back again immediately with the chat going, a worthy sequel to Must Love Dogs. Oh, God, like straight away.
Jesus.
Think one of us should sub out for Predacanga.
Yeah, we got to get you in here, buddy. Yeah.
You can
believe it was actually his birthday during the week. So happy birthday,
yes,
bud.
Yes, happy birthday.
There you go.
Yeah. There you go. There's your present. That's it. I'm out for this podcast. Right. Kanga, you're in. Tag. No.
Time's oh dear.
Hello. Welcome.
Hi.
Welcome. What are we talking about? We're talking about Wick.
John Wick.
Talking about Wick.
He's one of those characters that I look at and I think, how did you get as popular as you did?
Well, because, you know, he's got a big wick.
Just a shy guy with a big wick.
Excellent. This is the thing. Look, okay, you know, it's now a series of films and expanding into another film series and a TV show. It's become a whole kind of zeitgeist thing. Yeah.
Sorry, TV show?
Yeah, how did you not get the memo on any of this Wick nonsense? The Wick paraphernalia. And yes,
you're
going
to have to help me out here.
Equilibrium. Okay, so it was John Wick and then John Wick 2 and then John Wick Parabellum or 3 and then John Wick Chapter 4. And then there's also going to be the movie The Ballerina, Ballerina, set between 3 and 4. All right. Which is strange because they've done 4 and now, okay, fine, they've got to go back, whatever. And then they're doing The Continental, which is a prequel TV show set in the 70s. Of following young Winston.
Having watched a little too much of Pennyworth, the story of weird 60s, 70s Alfred, but I don't know that I need to see a TV show of 60s, 70s fucking Winston.
Why are you complaining about this?
Yeah, if it's young Winston, will Ian McShane's veneers make an appearance?
God damn it, Julie, are you looking at my list? I have this long list and Ian McShane's teeth is like number 3.
I can't stop looking at them.
Me either. That's why they're on my list.
I wish I had a little cocksucker thing. But what? Cocksucker. from Deadwood, Ian McShane. Cocksucker.
I am so glad you clarified what you were talking about there.
What was happening?
Look, I mean, hey, I like the John Wick franchise because at least it's a new property and they're not basing it on anything else. So I'm happy with that. Do I think that it has the legs to keep going where it's going? No, they've written themselves completely into oblivion and don't exactly know what they're going on. But it all came around from the first one, John Wick, which is still a very good, albeit cheap, but very tight film about a guy who goes on a rollicking rampage of vengeance over one night and a day. And ends up just murdering a bunch of people, and he's still human. And then we have John Wick Chapter 4. Which
Sorry, Dee, before we keep going, I want a little bit of from Peter here, because Peter, tell us, when did you first experience the Wickening?
2 days ago. Ah!
Can I say Welcome. That perhaps you dipped your toe into the wick or dipped the wick somewhat?
Dip the wick?
I am leaving soon.
Got your wick wet?
Yeah.
Let's get one. It all out. Let's just get it all out now.
How many more wick things? Okay.
I very successfully and deliberately avoided watching any John Wick films until you guys were like, let's talk about John Wick. And now then I watched... three.
So did you
and
watch...
none of them were the one that we're actually talking about.
Did you?
No, but isn't your life more richer for the better now?
Exactly. Did you watch these?
I have questions. Well, I have one question primarily.
Is it the one that starts with but and ends with why?
That's the one. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Did you watch I'd these be worried over the, if it wasn't.
Did you watch these over the weekend, Peter?
Oh.
I don't know that I want to engage with this team.
What are you talking about?
Don't be so weak. Stand up for yourself, Peter.
I watched the first one on Friday, so I did have a weekend of wick. I have to admit that the second one was kind of like eating my vegetables, you know? Like, I really had to force myself to keep going. It's not my thing. There's a reason I haven't watched any of them. There's a reason. Like, it's I get it, but
okay,
it's not for me.
Okay.
But sure. I have questions and comments.
Amazing.
That I'm sure lead into things that have also happened in the fourth film that I did not.
Well, I'm also intrigued. Like, if John Wick 2 was like eating your vegetables, was John Wick 3 a bit like being a goose fed like grain and turned into, you know, foie gras? Is that, or was it a little more easy to swallow?
I was just completely desensitized by that stage. And also, you know, not necessarily like fully watching it. Like, as long as I could still hear fight sounds in the background, right. I was like, you know, I'll kind of get the plot in the few moments that it happens.
That's a lot of murder to watch within a few days. Like, that's all I'm
saying. It is a lot of murder. And okay, so this is like my first question about John Wick.
Sure.
Like, he's just a straight up murderer, right? Like, the only reason we're on board with him initially is because nobody likes it when people kill dogs, which is really just a proxy fringing. But then he just continues to be a straight up murderer for less good reasons as we're kind of going through. Supposed to like him?
He's an ex-assassin, Peter. That's the whole reason why he's okay with
killing people.
Yeah.
He's okay with killing people, but are we okay with him killing people?
But see, he wears a suit. And if you're wearing a suit, you're allowed to murder people, as we've learned with American Psycho and anything committed by Wall Street in the last 40 years.
He's obviously very well respected and well liked among the murderer community.
He left the life, he got out, Pete, and then he was dragged back in. So if you're going to drag someone back in, then you're going to pay for it.
Yeah.
sure.
And that is how you justify murder.
Yes.
Also, sure. They killed his dog and stole his car.
Also,
car was the one that I was like, really? Yeah. Wow, that's our reasoning here?
Okay. Well, that's at the beginning of the second movie. That was like my biggest butt why I started happening. Because I was like, first movie, I was like, oh, I get it. Lots of cool fight scenes, you know, everyone loves a dog. Like, it was justifiably angry. Like he's a very good murderer. Well done. And
then good murder. Well
done. And I started the second movie, and I was like, no, hang on. Like you were like, let's go home, dog. And then like you were done with that, but now you're going back for the fucking car. Like leave the fucking car. Like don't what?
But it was a really important car.
But then you go back for the car and then you immediately just completely total the car. So obviously the car wasn't that important to keep going with the murder. And that's where you start getting off the same page as John Wick, I feel.
That's where you started. Not at
right.
Not well, it was by that point that people were just coming after him. So you have to kind of just defend yourself. And that,
no one was coming after him
with murder.
Not when he was getting the car. The car was like that was just a choice that he was making. People didn't start coming after him till after he got the car.
Yeah,
that was just strange. Like the first scene of the second, but like the excuse to like be having a movie. It's like, well, now we've got to get the car, and the people that had the car were like, oh no.
oh no.
We have this
not
car. This is not good for us. And then the like other guy started coming after him but then still he could have still made a choice to be like, you know what, I'm just not going to do this straight up murder. But that is not the choice that he made.
No, at no point.
That's selfish, John Wick.
Why do you think people? Why do you think that John Wick would make that choice about like, maybe I won't murder? I mean, he did in the first one. He did make a choice very distinctly to not murder someone. Because there's a bodyguard out the front and he's just like, you should take the night off. And he's like, yep, I'm going. But everyone else, he just, straight up murder. Like,
well,
murder,
no, he frequently doesn't straight up murder people. There are two people he doesn't straight up murder in the second film. He's like, oh, I've defeated you, but you can live, essentially. There are several people he doesn't straight up murder in the third film, including like the two Indonesian guys who like, like, good fight, and he's like, see yous later. So he does sometimes choose not to.
Didn't he leave that guy on the train in the second one where he's just like, you, if you remove that, you'll die, but you can't do anything else. So I'm just going to walk off now.
So that cancels out.
That's what I call, Batman ethics. Which is just
I'm not going to kill you, I don't have to save you.
Yeah, on a technicality, I haven't killed you.
and my other big universe level butler, because it is kind of an interesting kind of weird alternate universe with very specific rules.
Yes, after the first one, yes.
Everybody in this universe that isn't John Wick has Stormtrooper aim.
No, some of them actually hit him. He just happened to be wearing a lot of Kevlar.
Yes, but they know he's wearing a lot of Kevlar. They need the headshot. Why? Yeah. Like, he's got like many, many, many people firing
because
bullets.
Everybody uses pistols, and pistols are not good unless you're in a closer quarters than where they're shooting from.
What about unless you're John Wick, your pistols are amazing.
What about the Dracula effect? We'll get to that. There's the Dracula effect where you're just holding up the
John
side
Wick's
of you.
He's not even a good marksman. Like for some of the stuff that he's like shooting at people, he should be using a shotgun with like a wider range, but like pistols are just not good. Sorry, I'm an expert now because I read Reacher books.
Oh, right. Okay.
And what about this, and I'm like, why is he always with the pistol, especially on that horse riding scene?
There's two extended scenes, one in John Wick 2 and one in John Wick 4, and they are both having him using a shotgun. In the fourth one, it's amazing. Lee, stupid.
Hang on, are you talking about that ridiculous fucking gun?
Yes.
The
incendiary ammunition. We'll get to that one. All right.
We will. Okay. So should we talk? Like, okay, we've had a brief chat now about the butt wise
general issue.
But why?
Yeah.
Of John Wick 1, John Wick 2, John Wick Parabellum, and now John Wick.
Why does the third one have a name and the second one does? Sorry, continue.
I don't. Yeah, but why can't? I don't know.
This one had a name too, didn't it?
Not that I'm aware of. I thought it was just John Wick Chapter 4.
John Wick Chapter 4 is the name. John Wick Chapter 4.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a little bit disappointing after the highbrowness of Parabellum.
Do you want a little bit of mood music in there for your synopsis?
I would love some mood music.
Cool. I've got some leftover from last week. We're just going to run it in. It's I Need a Hero again. We're going down.
Okay, right. Cool. Thank you. With the price on his head ever increasing, legendary hitman John Wick takes his fight against the High Table Global as he seeks out the most powerful players in the underworld, from New York to Paris to Japan to Berlin. That's in entirely the wrong order. Whoa. Who wrote this? Oh.
I feel like that's actually not a, like, that doesn't really give anything like the level of world spanning, you know. I love that it's gone from a little story about a guy who goes and kills a bunch of Russian mobsters in the one city to now becoming a little more like fucking James Bond. You know, it's John Wick travels the world to fascinating and beautiful locations and kills people there.
Are you telling me you wouldn't have signed on to that movie if someone cast you in it? It's like, we want to fly you to all these wonderful locations around the world, and then we'll do some stunts, and then you get to go home. Sold. I'm in. What do I play? I don't know. Evil Bad Guy 4. Nice. I'm down. I'm in.
You're right. I would. I would totally do it if it gave me the opportunity to go and, you know, shoot in Casablanca or... No, that was number 3 was Casablanca, wasn't it?
I thought it was Morocco.
They actually say Casablanca at one point.
Great. Shows you how much I was paying attention. I was like, isn't that Morocco?
Isn't Casablanca a city in Morocco?
Yes.
Okay.
That is correct, Jill. But yes, I don't know. Like, it's interesting that it's just gotten bigger and bigger and bigger and gone from being, you know, tale of one man's revenge to now world-spanning, you know, system of assassins, which are apparently every city in the world is entirely populated by assassins.
There are a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
There are a lot of people in, like, this dark underground society that know what's going on.
Like, I feel like it almost becomes an alternate reality. Like, in the first one, John Wick could have happened in the real world in some way, shape, or form. It's Russian gangsters and stuff like that. By the time you hit 3, like, it's like they're not in reality anymore. Like, he's going into the desert to meet the king of all assassins, and every city just happens to be filled with assassins, and they can blow up fucking everything and nobody cares. No police ever show up. and everybody in the universe can be bought by one of the coins. And
coins with unspecified value that can either be worth like several weapons or 2 drinks.
Yes. Exactly. Yes.
Like, are you poking holes?
Well, I just want to
driving trucks.
Hang on. In defense of John Wick, as I've said for this thing here, is like in the first one they wrote a relatively smart, comparatively, a dumb action film, like a smart dumb action film, where they established some rules and they kind of made it stylistic and that's kind of cool. And then they got a greenlit for a sequel. And it was just like, great, we'll have to do some world building. We'll do this. And they came up with a lot of ideas and they threw a bit of shit at the walls. And in the third one, they were like, well, fuck, we've just made a bunch of things we'll try and rectify and we're not quite sure what we're going to do. And what I liked about the fourth one was instead of going back and looking at in the stuff and being like, we've kind of written ourselves into a corner with how this stuff works, they went the other way and they just leaned straight into it. And they're like, no, this is what's happening now. We've established that everyone has a very nice tailored suit that can stop bullets by just holding it up.
And they're tiny.
That's real. Anyway, yeah. Moving on. These suits also protect you from impact damage from anything from falling from a 5-story window to getting
that
hit by
sense.
A speeding car. Done.
Sense.
5 times in a row.
Move on. Yeah. Like, you know, and this is what it is. Like, it's,
I didn't think it was the suit, but now that makes total sense.
Yeah, well, it's Kevlar. Kevlar is magic.
Yeah, exactly. Magic yeah. Magic Kevlar that acts like a suit. Because, I mean, in, like, I watched 4 and then I went back and watched 1 and it is hilarious. hilarious about how much of a superhero he has become from one.
Oh, I was thinking while watching four, I'm like, this is like, why is there not an anime of John Wick? Because that's where we're at. It's so like beyond realism now that it's gone into fantasy. And I really kind of dig the fantasy of John Wick.
Yeah. I mean, like, this is the thing. In order to have a boring office job, you've got to be a tattooed, like, hot goth
rockabilly
worker. Rockabilly hot goth worker.
Phone operator.
Yeah, exactly. In all
who's also on the radio announcing to the entire city that there's a $26 million hit out on one guy.
Sure.
And you're like,
yeah.
Okay.
It's well known that when I take my car to get serviced at my mechanic, that those mechanics are actually part of an underground assassin's guild. And if I just opened the cupboard to the side, it would be full of semi-automatic rifles ready to go in case they have to hunt down a bounty after work. Because as we all know, once we finish work for the day, we just hang out and listen to the radio at work.
Peter, you have your hand cocked like you are ready to say something. Either that or you're about to pull a gun out of somewhere.
But why doesn't he have a magical Kevlar beanie?
Because he holds the suit up with the Dracula thing.
But wouldn't that be smart, like, if you had magical Kevlar suits? Like, surely, like, you know, I know, like, nobody in this universe can aim for their head for shit, but, like, just in case.
Oh, but apart from John Wick, who can aim for the head.
Yes, but only sometimes and not when he is having a weird gun silencer fight with, like, his one other guy who kind of has a high ground on him and should be able to hit him.
Maybe this is, you've hit on the exact point there. Maybe John Wick is idiocracy for action films. He's actually the smartest assassin in the entire world in this universe because he aims for the head. Every other one is just like, nope, body shot, got to kill him. That's just what it is. He's literally the smartest assassin on the planet.
I have to say, if all of these assassins are wearing tailored Kevlar suits, how come none of them have the legs let out to accommodate their combat boots? Because it's so tight around the ankles with those suit pant legs. I don't know if anybody else noticed that, but that was a pet peeve that I found with the costuming in this film, is that none of the pants were tailored to fit their combat boots.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I the tailoring of it, the whole thing, to me, I found myself going,
also,
really?
Woven lamé as the indicator of Kevlar in a shiny suit, I'm like...
See, this is where I think you're paying too much attention to the rules that they forgot that they wrote about and not enough attention to the fact that it's quite fun and it's exciting.
Why did Akira take off her cool robe and then have like this awesome like ninja costume on underneath it, but it was not Kevlar and she got stabbed.
And she did.
The thing that about her, I looked at it and I just went, oh, she took off her kimono or whatever and suddenly became a G.I. Joe character.
Oh my God, she was Femme Snake Eyes.
She totally was. And I was like, okay, we're doing that now. Cool. Like, this is that moment in the Fast and Furious franchise, except Hobbs and Shaw or whatever it was, where it went from being about cars and driving and stuff like that to suddenly being just another episode of G.I. Joe, where everybody's in body armor and just...
That's the point. This is the Fast and the Furious franchise now. It is not
for guns.
Where it started. Yeah, it's Gun Fu, a spiritual successor to Equilibrium.
Which I loved Equilibrium.
Go back and watch it again because it does not hold up well.
Oh, damn it.
It does not hold up well.
So I'm looking at my list and there are a few things I wanted to bring up. One of which was one that I, to Australian comedy viewers of the 90s, I don't think anyone would have been able to get through this film. Anyone who has watched, I think it was Fast Forward in the 90s. Do you remember when they did the piss take of Kung Fu?
No, but is this like a weird David Carradine reference?
It is a weird David Carradine reference. And when they did the piss take of Kung Fu, they burnt their arms on the side of a pot with copper art.
I thought that.
And all I could think of during that scene is like, copper art.
I thought that was the degeneration.
There's a distinct age group of people over 35 that remember Cobra Kai.
I know that I'm very much playing to the cheap seats on this one, but they're well padded cheap seats because, you know, we're old and it hurts. But that, as soon as I saw it happened, I just went.
That was the Mick Molloy stunt group one. No, I think that was the degeneration, not fast forward.
I don't know. Could have gone either way. You're probably right. I don't know.
I'm right. I think I remember that because I had a VHS tape of that, and that was the burning of the copper art, and I was like, oh, that's quite funny. Even though they did that in like Kung Fu.
Yes, it was it was definitely a Kung Fu piss take. I just can't remember which one it came from.
Okay. Well, another thing, something off my list, Quinny, is Exotic Japan.
Oh,
wait. Exotic Japan or Exotic Techno Japan. Japan and then Exotic Techno Germany?
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Sanada Hiroyuki. I will watch him in anything. He could be my Japanese daddy. But again, with the aesthetic cherry blossoms falling from the trees.
And, yeah, are there no other trees?
The futurism. And,
are there no other trees in Japan? It's just cherry blossoms and they're always in season and it's neon lit.
Yes. But like, and we use sumo wrestlers as bodyguards. Only use swords, not guns.
Yeah.
I don't understand what sumo wrestling is. Bows and arrows.
Oh, yes. Fucking bows and arrows, swords, no guns, sumo wrestler as bodyguard.
Remember that Peter hasn't seen 4 yet, so we're explaining things.
And Esky's also saying, are we up to spoilers?
Yeah.
Not really. Does it matter? Is there enough plot?
I mean, we could.
Okay. I mean, stylistically, that's what we're still kind of talking about here.
Yes.
I mean, and essentially the film.
Yes.
Does that international travel thing of going, first we go to Japan, but it's cyberpunk neon Japan. Then we go to Berlin and it's cyberpunk neon Berlin. And then we go to Paris and it's kind of cyberpunk neon Paris. And it's like, okay, cool.
What? No, it was not cyberpunk neon Paris.
No, it was weird, like Futuro 50s Paris.
Yes, true. Sorry. Yeah, yes.
Because everyone had like, page boy hats and they were into cars and rockabilly and shit.
Yeah, there was some weird shit in all of it. Like
it's a vibe, everyone. Just
also, do not ask Lawrence Fishburne to drop you at Sacre Coeur because he will take you the furthest fucking thing away from it.
Yeah.
And then you'll have to get there by foot and it takes a very long time.
Yeah.
So, that's like specifically to drink at Lawrence Fishburne.
Lawrence because Fishburne. He's like, I'll get you as close as I can. Meanwhile, he ends up at the fucking Eiffel Tower. I'm like, that is miles away.
He is just
Lawrence Fishburne.
He's just the world's worst Uber.
Boat worst. Uber. Peter, you have a question.
But why?
Because
do all of the communications in this world go through like a 1930s switchboard and then through a 1980s computer and then into people's iPhones?
Because it's cool.
Yes. That is exactly how technology works.
Well, clearly someone hasn't traveled very much, Peter. If you would go to Paris at any point in time, you would learn that they still haven't got the internet. It's all just radio waves and 1920s switchboards.
Like I would get if it was like, because it's like not hackable and it doesn't leave a trace, except that you are eventually still sending it out to people's iPhones.
But you are putting too much logic into this. What we are looking at is a triumph of style over substance as tattooed people with cool piercings talk into 1950s phonographs and play records on old record players and stuff like that.
I love
that. But at the same time, you know, cool.
At this point, it's just a fantasy Japan. Film.
I love that the non-existent police are like, if only we could track what they were doing. It's like, if only there were, we don't know how they're communicating. They just seem to be doing something in radio waves somewhere. Yeah. We're not sure
it's
how they.
If
only they weren't operating in the shadows.
Yeah. Like, you know, the shadows in the middle of the street.
Yes. I feel like this fantasy world just doesn't have law enforcement because you don't
see
there's
any one
of
policeman.
No, there is. There's
first,
a policeman in the first one
movie.
Who just turns up and goes,
he was the last one.
Yeah. Yes.
That's why he was so understanding. He was like, I'm just going to leave you alone.
I do love that at one point in this film, you're in the middle of like the roundabout around the Arc de Triomphe, and you're like, okay, cool. And I've been to Paris a long, long time ago. I love the concept of there being a giant car fight in the middle of that roundabout because
that is one out of three of my most favorite scenes in this movie.
I will go with you on it. I do think that sequence is one that is.
It was so original. Like, I've never seen that ever.
This is what I think the film does well, is that it goes, okay, now we're four films deep. We have to get creative. Mm-hmm. We can't just do the same thing over and over. And like, it's like, okay, how can we have a fight somewhere different? Can it be in the middle of a roundabout? Can it be like, because in the second one, there was a lot of it which was in catacombs and stuff. And I was like, okay, that's cool, but I want something creative. And yeah, they've started to get very creative.
I kind of want to be in that brainstorming session, actually.
Yeah, like, I mean, you know, I really like it each time that they've released a John Wick film. As I said, they've kept trying to expand the action, make it more interesting, make it go like harder as it sort of works. And they've written themselves into problems and then created things to get out of those problems. Except now they're back into that thing of like, oh shit, nothing works. How do we make it more visually arresting? And I actually quite liked 4 in creating new things. Like, you know, as we're talking about that fight in a roundabout, amazing. You know, would everyone be dead within 12 seconds? Yes, absolutely. Yes. You know, they got smeared by cars and no one ever did.
Everyone gets smeared by a car and then gets straight the fuck back up again.
I really liked
magic
the
magic Kevlar suits.
I really liked the fight up the stairwell. I thought that was.
I was gonna say, like,
good.
That's my second favorite.
And for me, the biggest star of this film is stairs.
Yes, the Stairmaster.
And
the other one,
I really like the bit in the second film where there was a fight happening on some stairs in Rome, and it was like quite a long flight of stairs, and they fell down like one bit of it, and I was like, it would be really funny if they just kept falling, and then they did.
Well, have we got a surprise?
Do you want to see that again? Because you got it. I heard you love that scene, Peter. We put it in this movie for you.
Yo, Peter, we heard you like stairs on your stairs.
And
so,
all I've got to say is sacre bleu, sacre coeur.
Hey.
Anyway, the other one that I actually want to mention before we go into spoilers was the really interesting shot when they were fighting through that abandoned building, where they ended up like lifting the camera and becoming a top down.
Fucking loved it,
and it was just actually it was just like a really interesting visual way to do it, because it felt like exactly what they were going for. It's a computer game now, it's a fantasy life, but it was just different to see it represented that way, because after a while, watching especially John Wick, you're seeing a lot of really good stunts done, shot in a way that you're used to experiencing. And how do you make that more interesting or give it a bit more flavor? Oh my God, you just pull the camera up over the top and then watch it as if you're top down watching this whole stuff.
Yeah.
They're still doing all the same fights. Cool. And it also makes it a little bit more impressive, because there's no place to hide where the camera is. Mm. So you know that everyone's doing their job while there's a flying camera over the top of a set, which is kind of cool. That was good. And, you know, it was John Wick 4 dumb as fuck? Yes. Did people get good lines and kind of a nice rounding to everything? Yes. Was the villain pissed, but that was what he was there for.
Do we want to talk about Bill Skarsgård?
Not really.
He
was
there.
He and Timothy Chalamet are wonderful, wonderful clothes hangers. And with all of the chutzpah of that sort of actor.
I don't know. I think Skarsgård is capable of a lot more. And here he was just. You know, he, you know who he reminded me of? He was the Merovingian out of fucking Matrix 2.
Yeah, young Merovingian.
You know, he was the elite French aristocrat. Cool.
Yeah.
Great.
But, I mean, it, for someone who played a really great Pennywise in the first chapter of It, I was not at all, I didn't sense any malevolence from him, which was kind of boring. But was John Wick, was he the actual villain, or was the system that created John Wick the villain? Ooh, yeah, sorry, that got a bit too deep. That's way too deep. Let's go back that shit up.
Yeah, you went too deep, and I don't think anyone cares that much.
I just love watching all the cameos of people showing up.
How do we feel about the introduction of Donnie Yen's character?
Ding dong. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. I'm like, why is he yet again playing a blind martial artist?
I know. The blind swordsman trope, I was like, okay. Yeah,
he's like a mixture of like his Rogue One character and Zatoichi.
Yes. Yes, yeah. I was just saying, winner of the Zatoichi Award for 2023. Donnie Yen.
Yeah. And, I mean, there have been great Zatoichi films, but, yeah. And the thing that kind of bugs me about it is that occasionally they play up the blind aspect and it's interesting. Mm. And then there are other points of it where you just went, he's not blind. Like, he's a sighted actor who's very obviously a sighted actor doing very complicated martial arts and stuff like that. And nobody is buying this shit. The only thing that sold it to me that he was blind is that nobody with working vision would wear a fucking turtleneck like that.
A white turtleneck.
A white skivvy. Let's not go turtleneck. It's a fucking skivvy.
Come on, man. It's cool fashion.
Roll neck.
It's cool fashion. Look it up.
Never heard of it.
Like, I was a bit nonplussed with the character because I was like, it felt a bit criminal to have Donnie Yen in that way and not have him, like, I felt like he did enough but didn't extend himself. You know, it's weird to say that about him because usually he just eats up screen and it's amazing to watch him. I just really love that one little character note towards the end there where he stabbed John after helping him because he was like, eh. Like, you know, and he's like, we're even now. And it's like, now yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, fair enough. Like, that was just a nice little bit. Mm. The rest of it, yeah. I couldn't really care.
Yeah, and I don't know whether the whole blind swordsman thing is to actually try and keep Donnie Yen back a little bit. Because anyone who's ever seen Donnie Yen do anything on screen knows that you put him up against Keanu and Donnie Yen is going to fucking destroy him.
He's fucking Imp Man, dude. Like,
yeah, he's going to... And I know that this is a film and it's written and there's somebody who wins and somebody who loses, but Donnie Yen at full oomph versus Keanu Reeves is no.
What about Mr. Nobody and the new dog?
I'm glad they named him appropriately.
I mean,
he was very background character. It kind of just drove the plot when it needed driving.
It was just a nice little mystery that they never resolved and made me real angry about that.
Yeah. I also kind of had that thing, and I sort of realized it today, that I would have been thoroughly entertained and far more happy if the whole thing had been Mr. Nobody was the character from the movie Nobody, Bob Odenkirk, you know, an aging assassin who's, you know, come back to it or something. Nice to have some representation, but the character was kind of bland.
Yeah.
Man with dog.
Yeah. Man with cool dog, the end. But we're in, yeah. See, weirdly, because in 3, as Peter quite accurately remembers for me, because she's telling me this in my brain.
From finishing watching it this morning.
Yes, Woman with Two Dogs was in the 3rd movie.
Halle Berry.
Yes, and to have Man with One Dog turn up in the 4th one was a bit like, wait, did you just, hey, what?
Yeah.
Every time you guys say something about the 3rd movie, I'm just like, I don't fucking remember.
I don't remember, yeah. Mm-hmm. Remember that time he went to the desert and, you know, on a horse with no name and then you know,
killed the king of the assassins.
No, they did that. He did that in the fourth one, didn't he? He killed the king.
He went into the desert, but there was no horse there. There was a camel. In this one, there is a horse in the desert that started it off.
Anyway, yes, he cut his finger off as penance for whatever reason, but it was no penance. And then that's the third one. And a bunch of other shit happens. And
Halle Berry was angry at him because reasons.
Yes.
I just have to rewatch it.
She was angry at him for dragging her back into it by using the marker that he had on her to get a favor when he knew that it would mean that people would come after her and her daughter, who at some point he has got out of the game and hidden somewhere.
Reasons.
There's a whole other story there that, you know.
That they that they completely don't have to worry about in John Wick Chapter 4.
Yeah.
There is a thing with the John Wick films that I enjoy them for what they are. But there is something that kind of bugs me about them, and it's this self-importance of the characters. And there is a certain amount of pomp and ceremony that comes with every single character who, whenever they're introduced, there's some kind of like, I'm going to walk in and I'm going to do something cool. And
it's anime. It's just anime. Everybody is the hero of their own little universe.
Yes.
And then whenever they come, it's like, we're so-and-so and we can do this and we're amazing and we're the best at this thing.
It really is. No, it's a video game where the characters have all their cool special moves and stuff. And Lawrence Fishburne is the one just going, his special move is eat scenery.
He is just in another movie.
Yes, he really is. There are a couple of times I was like, where, and I guarantee you the director was doing the same thing. It's like, Lawrence, do you want to do the lines as they're written? He's like, no,
I showed up
in Paris and I thought, who's looking after the dog? Yeah.
I was Morpheus in The Matrix with Keanu.
Machines.
Good.
And we should also, before we go into spoilers, just pour one out for somebody who we saw for the last time in this film, and somebody who we, as Destiny fans and everything, Lance Reddick.
That was a reasonably tough one to just kind of watch relatively close to when he did pass away. In that sort of situation, it was like, oh, that's a bit. Ow.
Yeah. Oh,
well, sorry, Pete. Yeah, spoilers and spoilers. Sorry for people out there.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Oh, I can't see. Yeah.
Spoilers.
Hey, in John Wick 4, someone gets shot and they die. There we go.
God.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah, like, you know, that was...
Great.
Is there anything... And this is the question I actually want to put to Peter, because I know that this is how we do it. Have we convinced you with some of these conversations to go and watch John Wick 4?
I will not be paying money to... see that film in the cinema.
Can I convince you and bribe you maybe with a pizza to watch it some afternoon in the future?
I will consider watching it some afternoon in the future. So good. So here's my, because I'm not going to rate because I didn't see the movie. I have so many more, but we just don't have time for all of the butterflies from this franchise. But I will tell you that I get it. And I do really appreciate the fight choreography. And I don't think that they're bad films, because I think that they set out to achieve what they want to achieve. And I think that they achieve that really well in terms of like two straight hours of fights and violence and really creative ways of killing people. And it is stylish, and I do kind of appreciate that they've kind of made up a whole new fantasy world of just assassins everywhere with a very particular set of rules. It's like completely ridiculous, like utterly ridiculous. I think that it's aware that it's ridiculous, though. And so I, you know, wouldn't say that there's nothing to speak for these films. I would just say that they are not for me. I love an awesome fight sequence in the context of a movie with plot that's not just fight sequences.
Fair enough.
I'm just going to say to all of our people watching out there at the moment, drop some ratings in the chat. Always use that little out of 100 thing because it helps me recognize them so that I can copy them down and then they go on the website. Okay. Jill, do you have a numerical rating for us?
I'm going to go 88. It's high. Yes, yeah. It's a dumb movie, but it's a fantasy film. And I love action sequences. I don't care why there's an action sequence. Just give me amazing stunt choreography, like unusual elements within fights. And it gave me three incredible scenes in the last half hour of the movie that I hadn't seen before and was completely stunned and impressed by the cinematography of them. So
that's completely fair.
Yeah.
Dion?
Thank. Thank Quiney. As I said, I like to take it as, went and saw four, went back and watched one and was like, it's such a different thing that it's no longer part of the same world universe that I can't look at. I go, it's like somewhat influenced, but oh my God, it's off on its realms of Fast and Furious now. But I still had a really good time. It was funny. Like, I liked watching it. It's completely dumb, but I enjoyed the world. And you just have to go with some of the things that they did. And I liked that they leant in to everything that they wrote themselves into instead of leaning out or trying to apologize for it. They just went, let's push through. We're just going to push through this one. Doesn't matter what it is. Is it mildly offensive? Yes. For some of it, which we'll get into in the spoilers, but I'm going to go for 85 because it was great and a pretty good wrap up of that story because, like, let's be honest, 2 and 3, you can mash them together and still go, I'm a bit confused. But by 4, I was like, oh, that's a good end. That's a good one.
Hmm.
Yeah, and it's funny.
It is occasionally funny. I do occasionally think it takes itself very seriously. And there are times I was like, oh, God, for fuck's sake.
Come on, man. Like, you can't say too seriously because there were so many action gags in the fight in Japan where he had the nunchucks. Because
The nunchucks.
That was slapstick fight.
That was good shit, though.
Yeah.
Like, there was one guy that got hit in the nuts about 6 times. It's the same guy. And in the end, he's just like, fuck, not again.
and the amount of times that you can stick the dog on somebody's nuts is apparently a lot.
Just by saying, nuts.
Exactly. I think for me, it's about an 80. I'm well aware of the fact that it is a well-made film. And looks great, has some good music, and the fight sequences throughout are really impressive. Like, they feel like, okay, we're doing this bit, and this is a self-contained segment. We're doing this bit. This is another self-contained segment. The reason that I'm not a little bit higher is because I feel like the bits in between, I kind like, to be honest, I started to drift. I started to be kind of like, what? Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Where are we now? And I did find myself doing that a few times of going, where are we now? Some of the action stuff goes on so long that you're like, Jesus fucking Christ.
It was almost a 3-hour movie.
Yeah. And there are a couple of action set pieces that I was kind of like, I would have trimmed that. I think, you know, it's a cool idea, but you hung on it a little too long. It starts to get a bit full of its own self-importance and all of the characters have the most important thing to say. And I was like, okay, remember the first one was a 90-minute or thereabouts action, like really grounded kind of shooty fun thing. This is turned into, this is like Chronicles of Riddick fucking whatever it is, you know, where it's all become this huge, big world building thing. So, yeah, I would say if you're going to do more, then strip it right back. Do something really, really raw and small. But, yeah, it's good fun.
I will say that, yeah, the fight sequence on the stairs is, for me, that's the whole film. I was like, yep, fucking wow. Okay, incredible. So, yeah. Let's go and do some spoilery things, but let's go and have a clip first.
Yeah, we should do that. I should have had that one queued up. Let's go to see the German.
What's the matter? You're afraid of the Germans?
So, you want to kill him? You want to kill him? I want to kill him. What about you, Mr. Vic?
I'm going to kill you.
Oh, for better, of course, yeah. But it looks like we have ourselves a genuine conundrum. A quandary, if you will. A real-life dilemma. So, I thought we'd play a game. One hand. The winner decides who lives and who does not.
Yes.
So while that clip's going on, we're having a heated, not even heated, we're having a discussion about shit fat suits.
Yeah. I know.
I mean, who fuck was fat that? Suits, just in general.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Scott Atkins could have played like a creepy German guy that wasn't fat.
Mm. Or if you needed a fat still character, then hire a fat actor. Thing.
Yeah.
They needed a stunt actor. It should have gone to Chow Yun-Fat, and he shouldn't have been German. But then they end up putting Scott Atkins in there like Chow Yun-Fat, and you know.
I would have gone Summer Hung.
Fat in fucking ages.
Oh yeah, yeah. Sorry,
Summer Hung. Fat's not even fat, dude.
No, that's why I was going to say.
Sorry,
Hung.
I got confused. Sorry, my right. My brain is old now.
So is Chow Yun-Fat. I don't think he was the right age demographic for that role.
It's fine. Just put a gun in his hand and throw a few doves. He'll be okay.
I did laugh at one point. Just towards the end of the film, Kane walks off at one point and he's in a pissed off mood or something, walks through a whole bunch of pigeons. And I was like, oh, John Woo.
Yes.
Exactly. just fucking spray of pigeons. And I was like, oh, he's wooing all over the place.
Yes, there was the bit at the top of some bit in France with all like the pigeons flying everywhere, and I'm like, this is not a John Woo film.
No, I actually literally wrote down woo.
I mean, look, it was a strange scene that I was watching because I couldn't place it, but after I watched it, I was like, oh, okay, I sort of see what they're doing. But we just had a techno fight in Japan, and now we're having a techno fight in Germany. And also, it's probably the weakest fight scene in the whole series because everyone in the nightclub, for half the fight, they're just ignoring the fact that there's literally some murderous shit going on. And it sort of also sidelined the other two characters quite heavily. Like, you know, you've got Donnie Yen and Nobody. Forgotten that. The character name Nobody, in like having a fight in another room, and then it's just John Wick chasing down this other guy having a fight. There's no reason that it had to be done that way. Just make it Scott Atkins. He's okay. He could have just played himself. He's still like, even in the end, it wasn't anything specific. He just had to get the teeth back. Like there's a whole thing.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just strange. But also
strange and unnecessary, and it felt kind of like it was, I don't know about fat phobic or whatever, but it was just a totally unnecessarily like gratuitously fat and unpleasant character.
Yeah, if I think when you start to characterize people like that, sorry, but
no, I said that it sounds completely fat phobic to me.
Yeah, and you're making that person a caricature of a body type, and that becomes the joke, then it is fat phobic.
Hmm.
Anyway, somebody should have deducted 10 points for that scene because I wasn't rating.
I can do that.
So that's just my rule. I don't want me to have to impose on everyone else. Can I just pepper just random butt wise in, even though I don't have any spoilers because I didn't see the film?
Sure. Yeah, go for it.
But why is there an entire room in the Continental just dedicated to glass cases with crystal skulls in them?
Yes, just because cool.
Have you not? Do you not have a crystal skull room in your house?
I like to think that Crystal Skull Vodka put a lot of money into this film.
Yeah, Dan Aykroyd was like, I'm really, really heavily keen for people to drink from my brand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any more but wise, please go hit us with the questions. Go, we can logic bomb this or at least answer them accurately.
Oh no, I don't want to distract from spoilers. I just want to get a few more in.
My question is, are people paid in tattoos in this universe? Because everyone has fucking tattoos and there all seems to be some Russian heritage that goes through everything. And small shout out to Natalia Tena for showing up in fucking John Wick 4. And I was just like, where did you come from? What are you doing here?
Yep.
But everybody's... why, if John Wick has come to murder you and you're like in your museum, but all of your henchmen are like fighting John Wick and slowing him down, why do you stay in the building?
So you can
use that time to leave.
In the first one, that's exactly what happened. Like John Wick was too busy killing the henchmen and that allowed the son to escape.
Yes, but in the second one, he just goes and hides in a mirror exhibit.
Yes. And in the third one, there's also a whole bunch of mirrors and stuff like that.
I have a butt why for this one for you.
Okay, sure. Good.
Why was Clancy Brown in this movie?
Because he's cool.
He didn't do anything. He just adjudicated something.
Yeah, but that's what you want Clancy Brown for, because he just turned up. Like, why was Morpheus in this film? Why was Lawrence Fishburne there? He didn't do anything either.
The other ones.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, there's no good reason.
Because you need to bring in extra cool people to, like, bring people into the cinema for extra cool. And Clancy Brown's cool. He was the Kurgan. I love him. Yay.
And also,
sorry, I'm about to reach off. There he is. There's my little Clancy Brown. Right off camera.
Oh my god. It actually exists.
It does, totally.
Yes, I love that you just have that. And there was a very direct reference between there can be only one kind of
I'm still disappointed that they didn't actually say that.
Look, I mean there's this whole film with the cameos and everyone that you chuck in there is just great. Like, wouldn't you want to be a part of the John Wick franchise? Just get Clancy Brown in. It's cool.
Okay, so big spoiler, spoiler of all spoilers.
Sorry, I haven't turned the fucking spoiler thing on. Just give me a second. Spoilers, there we go. Warning now, in case you haven't seen John Wick 4 and we haven't spoiled it beforehand and a bunch of stuff. But anyway, carry on.
So what did we think of the ending? The end.
He's not dead.
You reckon?
I reckon. 100% dead.
Nah.
Okay.
I'm going for John Wick is dead and no Batman Dark Knight ending.
Oh, no, that's where I'm going. He's having 100% Dark Knight ending. No,
he's buried next to his wife and that's it. John Wick is dead, and there you see a little bit of trivia. All the other gravestones in that cemetery were his victims. So he's literally surrounded by millions of his victims that he's shot over the years.
Okay.
So apparently in the I didn't see the post-credit sequence.
Oh, what? Oh, dude, I already sat there for 2 hours 40. I couldn't stay another 10.
Yeah. So
I didn't know that there was one.
Yeah, in that there is a sequence where essentially the daughter, so Akira, the daughter shows up and is getting ready to face off against Donnie Yen's character, Kane.
Yeah.
So essentially going, is this cycle of vengeance for, fathers and stuff like that going to continue forever? I think if they were going to bring Wick back, they may have done something in the post credits.
Okay.
And he has apparently recorded stuff for Ballerina. Because it is set in between, so they will be showing bits of him there, but
maybe Donnie Yen and what was the other character's
name? Akira,
yeah, maybe like they just wanted them to witness their fight.
Oh, he said witness.
Yeah, no, it's, hence it hurting.
Witness me.
I don't know. Like, I feel like, we could very easily leave it there. That could be the end of the
just leave him in the grave, man. It's okay. If you want to expand on stuff, yeah, go do the prequel. Go do the other thing that's in there. But just let him go. It's enough now. Like, once you've got to the parody level where you can fall three stories from a building and hit a car and then get up and go like, oh.
Yeah.
When you get hit by two cars. And then climb
200 stairs twice.
Twice.
Yeah, so the stair fight, Peter, if you enjoyed that bit of the stairs in the first film.
I just kind of found it amusing.
Yeah.
Because I was kind of like, it would be funny if
it's
they just
the
kept
stairs
falling.
Up to Sacre-Cœur.
The fall is one of the most incredible fucking things as a stuntman just falls for seemingly minutes.
He could have stopped himself so many times.
Oh, yeah, there's a couple of bits where you can see him actually push a little bit further to make sure he goes over the next mezzanine level. Like,
one thing I did appreciate about the second movie is that you did get to see John Wick kill two people with a pencil.
Yes.
You see
after
a pencil
all
in
of
this
the
movie,
references to that.
Yep.
Yes, you get a pencil in this movie too.
Yes.
Yes, true.
They're like, remember all the cool things we did before? We're going to bring them back.
Yep.
Yeah. Love Vagabond says he felt like Nobody may have been a setup for a spin-off. I think, if anything, they'll probably try and follow Kane to a spin-off, maybe.
Yeah. Would you watch that or would you just go and watch It Man?
One of the other great Donnie Yen films out there.
Series. Yeah. Film series. Mm. Like Ip Man's how many? Four now? Five.
Mm. Yeah, there's more.
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of like, it's fine, but do I want to see a spin-off of any of the characters in this? No, not really.
I would watch the Japanese, the Osaka Continental spin-off, but they killed Senator Hiroyuki, so I'm out. Yeah.
Right.
And I'm not entirely sure that Akira is enough of a character to latch a whole thing onto. I also don't feel like we saw enough of her fighting to kind of really kind of get a feeling for, oh, yeah, she'd be a great character to follow. Mm. Apparently the ballerina thing follows on from number three, where there's the ballerina school.
Which was an interesting thing that they introduced. Is like, hi, there's a whole ballerina school where people are like, oh, they're ballerinas, except they're not. They're assassins.
And they've all got heaps of tattoos.
Yeah, and they stole it from Black Widow.
Yeah. And my guess is that they were starting to make that film and then went, oh, motherfucker, we can't do that, can we? Shit. Okay, rework that concept.
The comic book did.
Yeah. And which was also, let's be honest, done better in, was it Red Swallow? No.
Red Sparrow.
Sparrow, sorry. I knew it was a bird. Other things. There were two weird Ned Kelly references, and I was like,
oh, yeah. The Ned Kelly shout out. The Such Is Life thing.
Yeah. It was a weird call.
It's kind of cool. I'm sure there's like a whole, planet of people that are unaware of Ned Kelly and the Such Is Life line.
Particularly people outside of this country. Exactly. You don't really kind of...
Yeah, but they love it because it's kind of that strange thing where they're just like,
it was thrown in so casually.
Yeah, like, and there's no like context for who Ned Kelly was either. So I'm sure there's a whole lot of people watching it going, who the fuck is Ned Kelly?
And yeah, I honestly, that was the thing. Like it was Winston at one point. I was like, well, as Ned Kelly said on his death thing, such is life. Imagine being so comfortable with your world that's your end. And him like,
yeah,
fucking hell, that's a deep cut.
He didn't say the Australian bush ranger, Ned Kelly.
No.
Just
well, see, Ned this is Kelly. The thing. Maybe they're just setting up for, the Australian John Wick, which is just Ned Kelly.
Fucking hell.
Look, the perfect Ned Kelly Willie. Film, the perfect Ned Kelly film's already been made. It's Reckless Kelly. Just go watch it.
Jesus. I will say.
Well, I was going to do another butt wire, but then it's kind of time to wrap up. We don't need any more butt wires.
What's happened to my camera? I've just gone blurry. I'm back again. All right.
I do want to know what your butt wire was.
No, please hit the butt wires.
But why would you hide some of your most important possessions in a book in a public library? Like, it's not conceivable that somebody's just looking for Greek mythology and is like, this book rattles.
Oh, look, a gun.
and a bunch of golden coins and a token with some blood in it. What? Okay. Nobody knows.
That's it. I won't. There's no time for any more.
What I did realize, and I know we're going to wrap it up here, but what I did realize as I was getting towards of it, the end of it, is that John Wick is essentially the Crow. He is like structurally, the story is the same. He's a man who, you know, has been done wrong, has essentially killed himself or removed himself from that world, and then comes back and goes on a huge vengeance-filled killing spree with only one destination, and that destination is the grave. Mm. So I was like, oh, okay, there you go. That's one way of looking at it.
Sure.
Also, I did love the line that Donnie Yen gets at one point. And somebody says, oh, do you remember your daughter? He's like, fuck off. I'm like, yes. Good.
Yeah, I was kind of getting a little bit sick of Bill Skarsgård at that point, too.
Yeah.
Like, you're a douche.
Yeah. And there was the character, I can't remember his name, the Russian guy who just enjoys beating people up. And
I am Klaus.
Yeah. All I can think of is, I am Groot.
Exactly. I am Klaus.
I kind of enjoyed the John Wick fanboy in the third movie.
Yes. So I'm one of the few people in the world who is actually in the fan club of that gentleman. Somewhere around, I have a signed photo of him. I'm not proud. Mark Dacascos. The early 2000s, Mark Dacascos was in a film called Only the Strong, which is probably the first and only film that was entirely about capoeira.
I haven't.
And it was, yes, and it was a film about how this young man pulled himself up by from the bootstraps by learning capoeira. Yeah,
yes.
And Mark Dacascos is in that. He was also, funnily enough, in the TV series of The Crow.
And also was another anime-turned live-action movie, yes. Crying Freeman. Yes. And also in a very fun and slightly crazy movie called Drive, and no, not the Ryan Gosling one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, the Mark Dacascos film of Drive is way more action-packed than the Ryan Gosling Drive, which is boring as fuck.
Yeah. Sorry, I'll always remember Drive for the one line, which is you got a spider on your head, and then the character's like, "What do you mean? I'm not down with your lingo. I don't know what you're like. You got a motherfucking spider on your motherfucking head." And the dude just has a spider on his head. It's a beautiful moment. Anyway, moving on.
Ah, so wonderful. What's is it? It's a pinch and a punch coming up soon, isn't it?
Oh shit!
We're the end of March.
Saturday.
Beware the Ides of March.
The Ides of past.
Yeah, I know. Beware there the next
about
ones.
13 days ago.
Yeah.
Got away with it once again.
But what are we doing next week? If you haven't already seen it, Dungeons & Dragons comes out on Thursday. Apparently, even though it's
Dungeons & Dragons has been out for like a week.
Yeah,
comes out on Thursday, but it's been out for a week.
And then a bit more. It actually like was doing press screenings for the last 2.5 weeks. It's very confusing.
I literally could have bought tickets to see that on the weekend instead of John Wick. But
yeah, like, yes.
It's not supposed to be out yet.
No, get along. We're going to review, even though I have to think back in the Wayback Machine. Wait, I saw it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
What the fuck's going on? Dungeons and Dragons next week, and then we will put out the schedule for April, even though it will be maybe mildly limited because it is holiday time. It's fucking Easter and a whole bunch of things going on and very boring, unimportant things towards the end of the month that don't involve Peter and I at all. What? It's a subtle birthday reference. Jesus, come on.
Ah!
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right.
Peter and cool. I share a birthday, and this year it's Peter's turn. She gets to have the birthday. she gets the birthday conch that I just hand up. Well done.
I'm not going to be here to celebrate. I'm so sorry.
Oh. Jill, how dare you?
I know.
That's okay. But we will get it all organized and let you know. But yeah.
Also, we've got a couple of other things coming up over the next couple of weeks. I'm personally going to go and do a thing tomorrow morning for some Transformers stuff.
Ooh. Transmorphers? Tell me more. When does the Beast Wars come out, Quinny?
It's not called Beast Wars. It's Rise of the Beasts.
It should be called Beast Wars.
It should be. And I hate the fact that everything's Rise of. It's like, what are we, a fucking species of bread?
Erection of the Beasts. Yeah, right.
Transformers.
Very different film.
Beast Erection.
Transformers, Monkey Wang. What? No. So, yes, I will be going to a place, funnily enough, that may or may not be Taronga Zoo.
Remember, Tarongas don't make a rider.
Oh, fuck. And I am very excited because this weekend they're bringing a bunch of Transformers fans to Taronga Zoo to do Roar and Snore over the weekend, which is fucking cool. So if you are going to do, if you're going to be in Sydney and anywhere near Taronga, if you want to see some big fuck off statues of the Transformers, that's probably where they'll be.
Yeah. Oh dear. Can you please just do the one thing for me, Quinny, and just somehow figure out how to get a testicle joke into whatever you're doing. I'm standing directly between the robot's balls.
That you haven't really forgiven them for the second film,
they
have you?
I don't forgive them for any of those films. All of them, apart from Bumblebee.
Good old Bumblebee. Good old
Bumblebee. It's not a bad film, well, Bumblebee. But the rest of them are just terrible.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. Unlike John Wick, which is just the Fast and the Furious for action movies. Go out, go see it. Go see some gung fu. Yeah, it's not bad. You're going to have a good time. Or you're going to hate it and go, I have to pee a lot. And that's fine.
It is.
All right. Thanks, everyone. And thanks, everyone, for joining us in the chat.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a pleasure. You have been good, thoroughly entertaining people.
Yes. And we're going to go. We're going to go raid anyone, Quinny?
We're going to raid somebody a little bit different. I'm going to go raid Kate Bitt, who is... funnily enough, an idol performer from Brisbane who I met while I was doing a show up there, who are a bunch of really lovely people who do all the singing and the dancing and stuff like that. Kate is a very funny, strange person who is currently playing Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney. So,
oh, fun!
Yeah, exactly. Objection! So we'll go and hang out with her and say hi to her. Thank you so much, and we will see you guys next week.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.